Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 1 in our teaching on the Book of Ephesians titled, Why Are You in Bondage to Others' Opinions of You? Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's see if we can jump into the presence of God through His Word. Lord Jesus, we love You, and we thank You for today. And Lord God, we thank You for this opportunity that we have to be with You and to be with Your people. And Lord God, I know that today is just another day in regards to life. But Lord, I ask and pray that this would not just be another day. Lord, I pray that this day we know it will only be lived once, and then it goes into the history books. The only thing we can carry forward, oh God, is those things that we learn from You or that we learn from man. So, Lord, fill our hearts today with what we learn from You, that it can have eternal value, not just value for us here on this earth, but eternal value. Lord, change our hearts today. Change who we are. Lord, we're just not satisfied with who we are today. We're sure not satisfied with others, but, Lord, we're not satisfied with yourself either. So, Lord, I pray that You'll give us revelation how the only one we can change ourselves, and at least we can answer somebody else's prayer and we can start doing better in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you say amen to that one? Okay. Book of Ephesians. We'll get started here today, and I want to do just a little overview of this book. It is what I call my favorite book of the Bible. The Apostle Paul here, this is probably his first letter that he wrote from, we call it prison epistles. It's Paul's letters that he wrote during prison. He's also under house arrest, we're not sure. But he also had, this is considered the first of his prison epistle. And before I get started, I don't want you to forget, you can see on the screen there, be sure and pick up last week's notes. They're on the table at the back. That's finishing up Galatians. We'll also have an album of all the teachings of Galatians and Ephesians next week, if you would like that. At the end of Ephesians, we'll have that. But also, we'll combine Galatians and Ephesians together. The previous week's notes are available on the table at the back. If you have missed any teaching lessons, CD copies of all lessons are available free of charge on the table at the back. And then we really would love for you to sign in each week for our records. That helps us in engaging our progress a little bit. So we really need to have you, if you don't mind, just for us to sign in each week. It really helps us in trying to gauge what's profitable for us to do. What are we doing that's really working here from a leadership standpoint. So Ephesians chapter 1, as we begin here, the title of this one, or this week, is Why Are You in Bondage to Others' Opinions of You? Yeah. Is anybody under that one? Is anybody under the bondage of others' opinions of who you are? Do you find yourself living life trying to get others to approve of you, to have the approval of others? And so as we get into the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is stressing to the believer how the believer is to, when we're walking in Christ and when we're in the Spirit, then we're not under the bondage to others. As we begin the book of Ephesians, I'm going to just do a whole overview. Now, you do not have your observation worksheets yet. We'll probably provide those next week where you can start writing on your observation worksheets. But my hope is that you'll be writing in your scriptures also. And as you're writing, the book of Ephesians it's a three-dimensional book. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul will teach and he tells about the church, the spiritual state of the church. He speaks about the revelation of the mystery. He talks about the mystery of the cross of Christ. And the mystery of the cross of Christ is the reason that we are even sitting here today. So the Apostle Paul goes over that. So the first thing that I'm going to do in an overview, who is the writer of the book of Ephesians? It's the Apostle Paul. Now, the date that we feel as though that he wrote it, Ephesians was written from Rome in around A.D. 64. I think Galatians was about A.D. 60, 61. This is 64, so we know that this one's after Galatians. Always remember that the Apostle Paul, in his writings, the reason it's important to get his dates of the writings, because if Ephesians is written after Galatians, then that lets me know Paul probably has greater revelations in Ephesians than in Galatians, because Paul says he was called up to the third heaven, and he got revelations from Jesus Christ himself. And so the reason it's important to have chronological order of Paul's writings is because they bring what we call progressive revelation. So in that's the reason I've given you the example of some places in Scripture, the Apostle Paul says that women should keep silent in the church. Or were you going to just ignore that Scripture? It is in there, you know. So we know that at that point in time, Paul was still under a lot of the Jewish. There was Jews and Gentiles mixed together in the same congregation. He had Judaizers and people that are born again out of the grace of God message sitting in the same room. So we know that Paul was speaking to a mixed congregation. And so a lot of Paul's Jewishness and his laws of the Jews were still in those books, in those writings. Then as Paul got more revelation, and he went on to say, and this is like 4, 6, and 8 years later, he said, you know what? I've had another revelation here. And Jesus has just shown me that there's no difference in male nor female. He said, there's no difference in bond or free. You remember the scripture. That's in a latter revelation. It's what we call progressive revelation. So today, would I tell you the scripture that the women don't need to speak in the church today? Well, I mean, if we did, we sure are breaking the book, right? So it's important to understand the progression of revelation. And you call it the first mention and the latter mention when you study in scriptures. You got a first mention, you got a latter mention. The latter mention in Revelation always trumps the first mention. First mention, animal sacrifice. Latter mention, Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, right? So there's a whole revelation of animal sacrifices and of sacrificial giving or of your life. And so you got first mention, last mention. Last mention in progressive revelation trumps first mention. Are you with me? So you can see why when you pick up the scriptures and in the churches today, there's so many different ideas. So when we're dealing in scripture, it's always really good to read the whole book and to get the revelations in progressive order, so you know where the last mention is of any particular revelation. Have I got you? Does it give you some explanation on why so many people believe so many different things? Now, if you'll notice, people always get born again out of churches that do the last mention. The greatest teachers of and preachers today are always doing last mention. One's Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke. These guys, and they just go preach last mention, which is what? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They just preach last mention. And there's power on that last mention. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians, what he's saying is you're mixing first mention and last mention together. And then you're diluting the last mention, which is the grace of God. Everybody kind of get that one? I'm trying to use this terminology so as you're approaching Scripture, you realize one of the little dilemmas that we have when we are approaching Scripture. Now, if you also notice, the books in your Bible are not in chronological order. So, therefore, you can't quite read it like a novel unless you get them in order. For instance, the book of Ephesians, I think, is Paul's journey, his place there was probably about Acts 20, probably along in there. He wrote Ephesians. Galatians would have been Acts maybe 17, I'm thinking. So when we talk about the book of Acts, which Trevor Craig taught, the book of Acts covers about a 20-year period. or about a 32-year period, 32-year period. And in that 32-year period, the Apostle Paul went up to heaven in the Spirit, got revelations, and he came down, and you insert Paul's writings into the Acts, what we call the Acts period, which is 30-some years. So when we get into the book of Ephesians here, you will notice that this is, as Paul's going here, this is would be put into some of his latter mentions. Paul's prison epistles, we call it, are the books that Paul wrote last. And so as we begin this, we'll see that this date in Rome was around 64 A.D. It is the first in the order of the prison epistles. Oh, yeah, I got it there. It's Acts 20. I forgot I even had it in the notes. Okay. It's in Acts 20 is about the date in which it was written. Now, keep in mind, as a Bible student, first mention, latter mention, when God gave a revelation to Paul, he did it in progressive order. Revelations in your life have been in progressive order, right? In other words, God is progressively revealing his truth to your heart and to your life. You can't get it all in one trip, so to speak. So, the basic theme of this book of Ephesians, basically there are three lines of truth that make up this epistle. Now, in today's teaching, I'm going to give you the structure of the whole book, hopefully. Basically, there are three lines of truth that make up this epistle. The first one is the believer's position through grace. Now, the Apostle Paul introduced that some in the book of Galatians. But he really starts narrowing in on this grace and our position that we have in grace. There's one thing to have the grace of God in your life. And then there's another one to understand your position that you have in that grace. We'll see that in the book of Ephesians. The truth concerning the body of Christ. Now here Paul starts speaking about the body of Christ in more detail. The revelation of the body of Christ, that terminology, which you and I consider common knowledge, was not common knowledge at that time. The concept that you had Jew and Gentile together in one body, the body of Christ. You see, where is the body of Christ now? It's in heaven. He rose the third. So the body of Christ, the physical body of Jesus Christ, is in heaven in his new body. So now we represent what? The body of Christ. So if the world sees Christ today, it's through the church. Have you got the translation? So the Apostle Paul starts bringing this revelation that the church is the body of Christ. I've had people say to me, well, Alan, we can't do those things that Jesus did on the earth. Jesus is gone. I said, well, the problem with that is we are now his body. And he said this about his body. He said, not only would we do things that he did, he even said we would do greater things than he did when he was on this earth. Now, I'm waiting for the greater things. Well, let me back up. I just like to do the things, and then let's get into the greater things. I got some looks right there, and I totally agree with you. We want to be, I wonder why, why is it that we know that truth? We know the truth that we are to be doing the things of Christ on the earth. We cannot bypass the heart that God wants to use to do the things of Christ on the earth. We're wanting to do the things of Christ, but not have a heart change. We want to change a little bit. We don't want to change all the way. The Apostle Paul has given us the revelation that the body of Christ can do the works of Christ on this earth and even greater things. My greatest concern is not that we do the greater things. My greater concern is anything less than the greater things, I don't think is going to win the world. Do you? I mean, we're born again. We have salvation. We're on our way to heaven. But what about those that are in the world today? Could it be that we need the greater things? So Paul tells us about this position of grace and the truth concerning the body of Christ and a walk which reflects that position. There again, the first thing is the believer's position through grace. The second thing is the truth of the body of Christ. The third thing is a walk which reflects the position that we have. Now, why is this important? The reason it's important is so that we can get on with this thing called the power of the cross. Now, this book can be divided into four basic ideas. Now, have you got your Bibles with you? I want you to mark in your Bibles here just a little bit. We're going to start off with chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. If you've got a pen or a pencil, please mark in your Bible right above verse 1, chapter 1. Just put there part 1, P-A-R-T 1. I just got it written in my Bible, part 1. I've got it highlighted, and I put me a little red circle around it. Part 1, I'm going to give you four. This Bible, this book is basically divided into four segments. The Apostle Paul said to study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is a key to how we approach Scripture. So when I'm, especially in Paul's writing, I'm looking for how Paul is rightly dividing the book. So we've got four basic divisions in the book of Ephesians. The first, I'll call it part one, is verses, chapter one, verses 1 and 2. And this is what we call, Paul's greeting. You can say the apostle's greeting or Paul's greeting. You'll see in Paul's letters, usually he opens up with some type of a greeting. You can say, well, Alan, why is that a part? It's because it's a part of what Paul does. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, if you'll mark in your Bible, part 1. Now, part 2 is going to start with verse 3. Put part 2. Now, you saw up there on the screen, part 2, and we're going to start with probably verse 3, and we're going to go through, well, let me get to it, probably, yeah. We're probably going to go all the way through. We're going to go all the way through chapter 3. Part 2, you can mark in your Bible, starts at verse 3, chapter 1. Just put right above verse 3, put part 2. And put there the believer's position in grace. Right above verse 3, put part 2, P-A-R-T, number 2. And put, this is... Here, Paul's speaking about, here's our position in the grace of God. Now, this is very important. This is our position. Part 2, verse 3 of chapter 1. And we'll go all the way, we'll definitely go all the way through chapter 3. That's where I've got it marked. So, all the way through chapter 3, at the end of chapter 3, is part 2. And this part 2 gives us an understanding of our position that we have now in the grace of God. Do you remember what grace is? That grace means you've got a position that you did not earn. Grace means that you are positionally in Christ in a place that you did not earn, but you received this position because you accepted the message of Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. Because you accept that message, that puts you in a position. And that position is based off of God giving it to you, and you didn't contribute anything to it. You just believed in it. Right? You believed in the grace of God. Now, here's something that Paul starts to show us. I'm going to throw this one in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, as we get into the book of Ephesians, faith is a huge thing here. We have to decide which come. You either live life one of two ways. You either have faith for the future, or you're responding to the past. As I am in a position today, my life that I live today will either be out of a responding to the past. So I now find myself in today, and I've got my past to respond to. Or I'm in the same day. And through faith, I'm going to write what's going to happen tomorrow. You see, the today that I'm living in was written yesterday. We are convinced that the day that we are living in just kind of comes randomly. It's by random. You know, that's a term in that today. Oh, it's just random. Right? It's just random. It's not just random. Now, you can have situations happen in your life that could be random or because somebody else's actions. But the question is, and Paul's telling us, are we going to seize this day? Are we going to seize this day? And are we going to write our tomorrow today? I got a thing at work and I say this. If you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow until today, you're not going to do anything today. Did you get it? If you don't, like, what did I just say? If you, I usually do pretty good my first time through. I just can't ever repeat it. If you don't know what you're going to, no, I can't say it now if I had to. If you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow till today, you don't know what you're going to do today. That's what it is. It's because tomorrow begins today. That's why. It's because faith is a creative act. And so the Apostle Paul is trying to tell the Ephesians here, he said, listen, you are positionally in the grace of God. And since you are in that position, there's authority that goes in that position, which is creative unto the future. Did you know my faith in your future can add to your future? Because I believe in you. If we believe in each other, did you know that that is creative unto each other's future? Or I can stand here. The reason God doesn't want us to judge each other, because that's always looking backwards. I'm living today based on your past. There's been some things on the news here in the last week or two that I'm like, this is so destructive. Has nothing to do with where we're going. People are trying to dig up past stuff 30 and 40 years to live today. Has nothing to do with it. As people of the Most High God, the question Paul was given to the Ephesian church was, you got to recognize your position of grace. And then you've got to have faith going forward. So, that's what number two is about. Number two, part two, will begin with chapter 1, verse 3, and it will go through, I'm saying, chapter 3. Now, starting with verse 4, right above verse 1 there in verse 4, part 3. And part 3, it speaks about, the walk of the believer, the Spirit-filled walk of a believer. Spirit-filled walk of a believer. See, Paul first, he says, hey, how you doing? Then he goes in and says, now listen, you've got this position in Christ. I'm going to give it to you in detail. That's part two. I'm going to tell you what your position is. He said, now that you understand your position, now I'm going to tell you how to walk in it. So that's part three. So in part three, we're going to start with chapter four. And let's go through let's start with chapter 4. Now go to chapter 5, verse 17. Chapter 5 and verse 17. Now right between verse 17 and 18 of chapter 5, draw a line in your Bible. Right between verses 17 and 18 of chapter 5, draw a line in your Bible and put part 4. Right between, I'll have this on your notes next week also, but in your Bible, I'd love for you to write it between verses 17 and 18. I would like for you to put part 4. Now, in part 4, just put in there warfare of the believer. Warfare of the believer. One thing that you'll learn about warfare with a believer is the more of the filling of the Spirit you have, the more warfare you'll have. Sorry. I didn't write it. I'm just reporting on it. Part 4 is chapter 5 between verses, let's say, 17 and 18. And put the walk and warfare of the believer. And he goes on kind of like this. It's the walk and warfare of a believer because he's been filled with the Spirit. Because he's been filled with the Spirit. How many people want more of the Spirit of God? You're going to get more warfare. Have you not noticed that? Right? You see, our human nature says, well, things will get better now that I'm filled more with the Spirit. No, you're in a war. You are now more of a threat than you've ever been to the spiritual darkness because you have been filled more with the Spirit. And because you've been filled more with the Spirit, you now find yourself that more has now been required. So the enemy's always saying to you, this is a bad investment. You came to God, now look what you got. You wanted more of the Lord, you died to more of yourself, now look what you got. I have discovered that when the enemy discovers that we're determined to stand firm, that he'll let up. But as long as you're kind of in the no man's land, well, I maybe will. Well, if things will get better, I'll hang in there. No. You got to determine you're going to hang in there before things will get better. Come on. That's where the faith comes in. You have to predetermine. How many of you would really, I'm not just faking it here. How many people would really love to have more revelations from God? Okay. You have to have, write this down please. You have to have a predetermination in your heart that you will do what he shows you before he'll show you. What's the key to more revelations from God? You must have a predetermination in your heart that you will do what he shows you and then he'll show you. Does that make sense? You see, God doesn't give a revelation to a heart that's going to debate it with him. He doesn't give a revelation to a heart and say, well, yeah, maybe I will, maybe I won't. The warfare that you find yourself in today was produced out of your commitment yesterday. Stinks, doesn't it? It's hard, isn't it? Why is it that people who minister to alcoholics have trouble with alcohol? Why? Because the enemy's still after them. They've got an anointing to minister to an alcoholic, but yet the enemy's still after them. The warfare increases. I've heard people say to me, Alan, why do you keep fooling with that preacher? It's because I know the truth of Ephesians. The longer they hang in there, the harder they try, the worse the warfare. Can you hear me? We must have grace and mercy for each other. Jim Baker, I've talked with him before. People say, yeah, that guy, yeah, there you go. Listen, the warfare increases. You can say, well, Alan, he was flamboyant. He was all, well, say whatever you want to. He was still standing for the gospel. The greater commitment, the greater the warfare, and I wish I could tell you different, but I just can't based on the Bible. Now, this has eternal purpose and gain. Huge eternal purpose and gain. Just understand, if you'll allow it, the warfare that you are experiencing will do a greater work in you than the warfare is costing you. I promise. You might have to wait years, but I promise. Our biggest problem today is instant gratification. We want God to instantly do it. God hasn't changed any of his time schedules because McDonald's came on the scene. Has not influenced God any way whatsoever. Now, what did I do with my thing here? Did I get all my parts? Part 4? what did I do? All right, part four goes between chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. I don't know. Do I have them on my screen up here? Yeah, there's Paul's greeting. I had him here all the time. Okay. Positionally, part two, the believer standing in Christ and in the heavenlies through pure grace. That's verses chapter 1, verse 3 through 321. I got that one right, didn't I? The second position, the third position is the believer's walk in service. That's chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, 17. I got that one right. I'm doing good. And I got one more, and it's stuck. Little help. There we go. Number four is the walk in the warfare of the spirit-filled believer. Let's do chapter 5, verse 18 through the end of the book. Now, what have we got? Paul gives a greeting. Number two, Paul gives us the understanding of standing in Christ. And I also put on my notes there, not only are we standing in Christ, with Christ, but where are we standing? In the heavenlies. Listen, when you die, you don't need to go to heaven. You need to already be there. All right, maybe we'll get into that one in Galatians. The third one, the believer's walk in service. Paul says, hello, how you doing? Next one is, okay, you got to understand, you got to stand, you got to understand this great, you got to understand your position. Third, he goes into, now that you're in your position, I'm going to teach you how to walk in that position. And he says, as you're walking, you're going to be in a fight for your life. Now, in amongst all of this, there's power of the resurrected Christ. Do you want to get into that one? All right, that's the four divisions. Now let me get into one other thing here. I've got 10 minutes. As an overview, have you got your, I say the book of Ephesians, it's in how many parts? It's in four parts. What's the first part? Paul's greeting. What's the second part? My position of the grace of God. My position of grace. What's the third one? It's how I walk out my life in this grace. And what's the fourth one? As I'm walking, there's going to be a lot of warfare. There's a lot of good stuff in amongst all of this, but that's basically the four divisions. Now I'm going to go into, you see where you got your part one is right before verse three. Do you see that one? I'm going to do something else here. I keep forgetting that I got my notes up here. There's seven revelations of the believer's position. Now we're going into it a little deeper here. This is an overview. There are seven revelations of the believer's position. That's part one. That's part two, the position that we're in. It'll also go over into part three a little. But I am now dissecting, rightly dividing the four parts, and I'm going into seven revelations within those four parts. You with me? Now let's look at this first revelation. I'm going to call it, you got your pens, you marking in your Bibles? Let's start the first revelation. I'm going to call it the believer's position, which we talked about. Let's do verse 3 through verse 14. After chapter 1, verse 14, put first revelation. Now, this is very, very important, Bible students. First revelation, put chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 14. You see that one? How many people are looking at your Bibles? Look here in verse 9 of chapter 1. Having made known unto us the what? Mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. This first element of a revelation, Paul starts speaking about your position. He goes into verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, how many things? All things in who? In Christ. The dispensation of what? Fullness of times. What does the dispensation of the fullness of times mean to you? It means that there's going to be a time that things are going to get full. Right? A dispensation, that word there means just dispensing something. When you go to a Coke machine, put in, I started to say a quarter. a dollar or 50 cents, whatever it is, it will dispense unto you a Coca-Cola. So when you see the word dispensing, God's saying that he's dispensing. So God, that's progressive revelation. God dispenses truth down through time. So when the dispensation or the dispensing of truth comes to the fullness of times, that tells me that there's been some times that weren't full. What Paul says in the book of Ephesians, you'll see it, that the unity of the body brings forth a dispensing of fullness. Come on, somebody say thank you. Amen or something. Did you get it? There again, I don't know if I could say it again if I had to. Did you get it? It's the unity of the body that brings about an experience of the fullness of the time. We as believers, Paul was trying to encourage the church at Ephesus to become full in the time so the power of the resurrection could be dispensed. See, it's not about getting it right. It's about being in unity. I told a church, gave a message one time, do it wrong for Jesus. Just do it together. Say, Alan, how'd that go over? About as good as it did right then. Fullness of times. There's a dispensing. There's a pouring out. Blessings in what places? Heavenly places. You will learn and see in the book of Ephesians how important it is for us to walk into unity. There again, religion says we're going to get it right. Spirit of unity says when you get it wrong, I'm going to cover you. And pat you on the back and say, we'll do better next time. Called the grace of God. And it's in that truth. See, love covers it all. Do you love somebody more than them doing it wrong? That's the question. And as we love each other more, our love is greater than your performance, then you'll be in unity. Because we're all doing something wrong at any given time. So how can we get into this unity? It's because the love's going to cover it. And as we get this place of unity, then the Apostle Paul says there's something's going to become full. It's called time. We start experiencing this dispensing of the fullness. As we get on into Ephesians, we'll see it. And the power and the glory of God will hit this place wide open. But it won't come till we get into full unity. That means when your love's greater than the wrong you've experienced. Love cancels it all out. It's called the love of Christ. You can't do it in your own love. But you'll find how much of the love of Christ you really got. And if you're missing the mark, say, God, I need more of your love. I need to be poured into. It's like I told you that time we was in a revival. And that fella's the grumpiest fella in the church. And y'all have heard me say it. He came up to me, big old tears rolling. He put his arm, he said, Alan, I just love everybody. Grumpiest fella you ever seen. A year later, he's still grumpy. But there was a year he wasn't. There was a year he wasn't. Sweetest feller you ever seen. Prayed for more people. I seen more people get healed with that guy than anybody I've ever seen. A year or two later, it left him. He wouldn't hang on to it. He called me probably 6 months ago and said, Alan, how did I get back to there? And we talked. So he said, Alan, I got to have it back. He said, I hadn't been right since. Listen, once you taste of the true love of God, when you leave it, you're just too late. You're just messed up. You're messed up until you run into it again. But Paul's speaking about this in the book of Ephesians. He goes on to say this. Let's go with part two, or the Revelation 2. See if I've got it in my notes. I do. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. It's the prayer for knowledge and power. So if you'll mark in your Bibles, Ephesians 1:15, go to verse 15, make a line. Verse 21, make a line. And there I'm going to say the prayer for knowledge and for power. And verse 16, he says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and what? Revelation. You see that one? And the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Now here's what you got to see. The revelation and our eyes being enlightened more comes after the unity. Doesn't come before. Do you want revelation? You want understanding? You want your eye, you want to be able to see more than you can see now? Okay, which comes first? Unity comes first. Why? Fullness of the time's got to come first. We call in the fullness of the time because of our unity. And then guess what starts popping? Revelation, power. Our eyes are opened. Here she comes, like a train out of heaven. And the reason you're in the heavenlies, it's not so much you're in the heavenlies as that the heavenlies are here with us. But you're in the heavenlies. But you're experiencing it right here. Does anybody want any part of that? If you don't, you're in the wrong class. Because that's where I'm headed. As hard as we can get there. I don't know if we can get there or not. But we're going to try. If we don't get there, we'll say we gave it a good shot, won't we? But that's where we're headed. And I got to the second revelation of seven. And we'll have to hit the next five next Sunday. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the power of your revelation. Thank you, oh God, for your word. Kind of scares me sometimes, God. I stand up here and I act like I'm just big and bold, but it makes me shake. It makes me afraid, Lord God, you might take us up on it. If you do take us up on it, what in the world are we going to do? Lord, there'll be people in here wanting to get healed and saved, and you're going to mess up our whole week if you do that. We'll have to be here more, and we'll have to pray more, and it'll just mess us plumb up. We got so many plans. But Lord God, mess our plans up is my prayer. That you might be glorified. That this earth might change. And let this church be guilty as holy rollers. Let us be guilty of people saying, I don't know what they do there, but I heard you could find God there. Give us a reputation, oh God, of being your people. And we'll try to wear it as well as we can. But when we don't, God, we're going to cover each other. And say we know each other's heart and they meant well. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You got 15 minutes to get a cup of coffee.